So I reiterate here, the bill is dead.
The story of this great city is about the years before this night.
We are free!
Hello, everybody. It's a new episode of Oh Hong Kong. In case you're just waking up, I thought this is a very strong way to wake you up. Ah. So welcome to the show.
Wake up!
It's wake up! Speaking of cool goatees with the System of a Down reference.
Yo, you got it. Respect. I was thinking, I'm like, nobody got that. Yeah, like System of a Down chop soy. Oh, yes. Yes. I can't believe you got that. Okay, all
right. My goatee having family member is right here.
Yeah. I'm Vivek. My name is my Instagram handle is Funny Vivek. What is your Instagram handle, Mohammed?
It's Dr. Mohammed.
I don't think we can keep this up for the whole episode.
Our guest is head banging now.
We have a guest.
Oh yeah, what happened here? I don't know why. We thought this is a good idea to have guests back to listen to all nonsense.
Yeah.
I thought it's just between us and the audience, but
exactly. No. We decided it was time. We've been talking amongst each other for the last few weeks.
Yeah.
We thought, I'm sure all of you are sick and tired of me talking about being a colonoscopy. You talk about your passport problems. And
before we bring the guest on, let me just comment very quickly. Obviously, it's audio podcast, but there is a beautiful piece of art between the two of us.
Yes.
That you decided to acquire recently.
Yeah, so go online, just search for Tweeter Head Joker, okay? Tweeter Head Joker, and you will find this this figure where Joker's sitting on a big sofa.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's got the Batman cape behind him and everything. It's very cool, very cool. It's
very,
an
very
art
cool.
piece. It's a piece one should admire with beauty
and not
and
touch.
Not touch. Mohammed goes into this my house late for the interview, late for the podcast. Comes in here, starts spinning my thing around, and his hand taps on one of the little knives and breaks them. I have owned this for less than a week.
It's clearly my fault, but it's very amusing.
Exactly.
Just
that
be
would
like,
happen.
Oh, this is so beautiful. Boop. Oh, whoops.
I mean, I'll be honest with you. The company did send like spare knives.
Yeah,
they
because
realized
it's the flimsiest part of the piece.
Exactly.
And if you paid this much money and this thing falls from someone touching it, you should ask for a refund.
I mean, I don't know about the refund, but let me put it this way. They'll be like, what did you say? Someone touched it?
Yeah.
I'm like, look at the terms.
Well,
it
didn't teleport here. So you touched it too.
I touched the box, which it was in.
Right.
And I removed it from the box. They probably give you a one touch quota.
Yeah.
You touch it once only. After
I mean, to be fair, it's very tempting to keep touching it because there's so many little pieces that are sticking out of it.
Yeah, for anyone who's just tuned into the podcast, when he said it's very tempting to keep touching it, so there's many pieces sticking out of it, it is not what you're thinking.
Yes.
Yes. Anyway, let's
speaking of hot things we want
sticking
to touch.
Out.
Yes. We have a guest, everyone. He is already laughing, so we gotta give him a moment. Well, he's an old friend too. And Jared, I'll let you introduce yourself. I forgot how to talk to guests. You talk.
Lei ho. Hello. Good day. Just for the reference, this particular statue, I've seen smaller statues in Man Mo Temple. This thing is giant.
It's it's the size of my torso.
I walk in here like it's Guanyin, it's Buddha. No, it's the Joker. And it's massive. Anyway, good. Hi. Hello. I'm still unclear why you brought me in here, but it's so great to see you here. I feel like a man with a flintlock pistol walking into a saloon where there's two guys with Gatling guns.
Yeah.
I've spent the last few years trying to civilize my accent and speak slower.
Yeah.
And here I walk into this room
hyper
here.
Discussion.
Well, we brought you on because we're both going to Australia, so we thought we'd get a crash course on how to talk to bogans.
I will be the designated skip, and yes, I have an inner bogan.
Yeah. Okay. First of all, help everyone understand the term bogan. Now, anyone who's grown up in Hong Kong, this is not a common term we hear.
No.
When we describe people of your type, we generalize them of all, whether you're the CEO of a bank or an actual true-to-life bogan, you are known as the term guailo.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we generalize it, right? We don't, like, for example, just like an African-American or a black person, it's just hakwai. Whether you're actually African-American or African or whatever, it's just like hakwai, that's it.
Yeah,
so we guailo you all. Now, what makes someone qualify as a bogan?
Bogan is, there are varying degrees of bogan.
Okay.
All right, so you know the band AC/DC.
Yes.
All right, bogan band.
Oh.
Okay then. So there's welfare bogans.
Yes.
There's cashed up bogans. And then there's a new thing because of the MAGA movement, Bogans with Slogans.
Bogans with Slogans. All right. Now, this is only a Bogan thing that you'd have where they need like things to rhyme for them to make sense. I don't... No, wait, that's American. That's crap. I don't understand this word until it rhymes away.
Wait, cast up Bogans, I can imagine, like, and guess, which is like the nouveau riche.
The nouveau riche, right?
Well, they're the ones who, like, say you're a plumber, but you're earning like $1 million Hong Kong a year.
Yeah,
right.
You've got a ute, but it's a V8 ute. And it's like you've got all the things that a Bogan wants. Like, you've got, like, 2 jet skis, 2 V8 powered utes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but you're still just drinking the crappiest bourbon and coke cans of all time,
right?
And you're just like, yeah, you know, and Morgan, that kind of money. He's just like, he just likes his AC/DC, otherwise known as Akadaka.
Akadaka, yeah, I've heard that one. Yeah,
Akadaka, ew. I've never heard that before.
I'll be honest with you, like, one of the culture shocks I did have was when I did go to Australia for the first time, and I actually encountered a certain group of Bogans where I was like, I think this is what they're talking about. And my brain, like, growing up in Hong Kong my whole life, the Caucasian person has never been seen in a light that could be negative, where no matter how poor or bad you are at your job, you still are employed or you can still survive.
Mm.
And when I got there, I was like, wow, this is another level. Like, I have not seen... I'm like, because you're... unfortunately, over here, especially in Asia as well, you have this thing of like, if they do it this way. Like, the joke was, if a white guy falls asleep in the middle of the night with a phone, everyone's like, oh, he's having a good time, right? Whereas a brown guy falls asleep, like, oh, this looks a piece of shit. And if a Chinese guy's like, can't even handle the alcohol, what a crap, right?
Right.
So when we see this happening, I'm like, this actually doesn't make sense now.
That's some similar BS that goes on in Australia in terms of racial approaches to poor behaviour. There was a senior politician who only a couple of years ago was the Deputy Prime Minister of Australia.
Yeah.
Mm.
Someone was walking past, saw him. He had fallen off a planter in the street, was lying on the ground on his phone, going, filmed it.
Yeah.
Put it on Instagram, and we're like, oh, yeah. And a bunch of people went like, you know, if that guy was Aboriginal, he'd be like arrested and dragged.
Yeah,
right. Yeah.
But this guy, we all kind of like, ha, 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 look at the drunk guy who could have been the prime minister.
Wasn't there another politician recently who was also like found like drunk on the street and he had to apologize?
This is the one. His name's Barnaby Joyce.
Oh, that's the guy.
Otherwise known as the beetroot for the color of the face.
Right.
And he's one of these guys that pretends he's in touch with the land.
Yeah.
But he went to a rich private school, studied as an accountant.
He
wears a hat.
And
stands on a farm that he doesn't work on.
Right.
And talks about how he's in touch. Anyway, yeah, that guy.
I love it. Like, this is what every PR company does. Like, if you look at a lot of boy bands as well, they're like, okay, you're going to be the one that goes with the good girls.
Yeah,
you're the one the bad girls want. You know, like, this is exactly it.
This is the Village People all over again. You know, you get that. Is that good? I love the Village People.
Just for our audience to not think that we just invited like
a random
thing. An Aussie dialect master to help us.
You advertise at Hong Kong Moms. That's all that post. We're looking for a random goiler.
But
we'll need one with Bogan characteristics.
We need one with Bogan. That was actually the casting call that you responded to.
And we had one response.
Yeah, one response. Jared, you started at the SCMP.
I did.
That was in how many years ago?
I got to the SCMP about 4 weeks before Jack Ma did. And I think he had a bigger influence.
Right.
I think you were the tipping point. He was like, who works at Jared? Oh, I got to buy this stuff, man. I'm going to own this one.
If they're hiring that kind of skip. So 2016, I got here.
Right. And what were you doing before?
Before, I was working in the ABC. So that's like the, you know, like the RTHK,
Australian
BBC
Broadcasting,
of Australia.
Yeah.
But I didn't work in the capital cities. I worked in a town called Ballarat, which is west of Melbourne. And, you know, that's why there's this huge Cantonese history behind, because it was a gold town. In fact, they got so much gold out of Ballarat in the 1850s, 60s, 70s that the richest cities in the world were New York, Paris, London, Ballarat.
What? And that's where you grew up?
I lived there for about 10, 12 years. I grew up in Melbourne, but then I left in like 2000 and went and worked at a place called Kalgoorlie, which is just a gentle 9-hour drive towards a desert away from Perth.
Sure,
worked there. And then I came back. They started the radio station at Ballarat and I was there and, you know, worked with the ABC. I was this first generation of people they hired where they said, hey, can you do some radio but also run the website but also shoot some video but also take some photos because this internet thing seems to be taking off.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I did that for many years, and that's and then I got here, and then Yeah, I
so wait, why did you choose Hong Kong? Like, did you just apply for SNP job and then?
It's a beautiful romantic story, Mo.
Oh yeah, did you follow a guy?
I met a lovely, gorgeous woman in New York who was living in Hong Kong.
Yeah,
And I thought she was fascinating. Mm. And then I got back to Australia and I'm like, you gotta
be with the woman.
I'm too old to die asking what if. So I messaged her and said, hey, I'm going to come over and let's have lunch and see if we have anything in common. So I flew over here to have lunch with a woman. And then...
Hold on a second. Wait. You flew from New York or Melbourne. Australia? Melbourne. So I was 9 hours.
Yeah.
Did the lunch last at least 90 minutes?
I stayed for dinner.
Oh, yeah.
That was worth it.
So there was a, so that was 2014. Uh-huh. So then she's like, why don't you come over and just check out and see whether you like Hong Kong, whether Hong Kong likes you. Mm. Ostensibly, she was taking me for a test drive.
Trying to see if you could blend in.
You can see I take up a lot of space.
Yeah.
So she's like, how are you going to deal? So she had a tiny little place down in Bifagai.
Linda Saris. Yeah.
And then was there and was also in the middle of Occupy. So I got to see the Occupy protest and I had my first kind of awkward Caucasian moment of journalism. Because she works at HKBU and there's the HKBU Baptist students and the oldest student newspaper in Hong Kong. And they're all covering the stuff that was going on. And of course, I'm walking out and seeing the last of Occupy in Mong Kok.
Because
she goes off to work and I'm like, okay, I'm going to get on the MTR and go and explore Hong Kong. And I go out there and I'm like, this is like the greatest show of all the latest mobile technology for cameras and everything I've ever seen in my life.
The ultimate showroom.
Because, you would see, there's the group of people in the center and this huge ring of photographers and journalists all around them.
Yeah.
And I'm standing there and I'm watching this young woman and this old guy full tilt. And he's, I think she was standing behind a stall, like the yellow stall, that pushing the Occupy kind of a movement.
Yeah.
And he's like standing there, like saying all this stuff in Cantonese. I'm like, here is a vigorous discussion about democracy in Hong Kong. Yeah. I pull up my phone and I record it. I think I'm doing the right thing here. And I send it to the chat for these students. Mm. I'm like, maybe you might want to use this. This could be really interesting. Yeah. And I hear nothing back. And then I asked my girl, I'm like, did you hear anything back? She's like, I'll check for you. And yes, they checked.
Yeah.
And the translation was the old guy saying, do you fuck your mum? Do you fuck your mum, don't you? Do you fuck your mum?
Oh, yeah.
And the girl is saying back to him, well, you need a dick to fuck, old man. Have you got a dick? Welcome to Mong Kok. That was my first experience. The vigorous.
You thought that was like you're watching the epitome of like democracy in Hong Kong. And all you're hearing is like, you can probably guess the.
I can do that. Yeah, for sure. I know exactly. Because I can so picture that happening every other week in Victoria Park.
Right.
That's not Occupy Mong Kok. That was just Mong Kok.
That's just Mong Kok on a Wednesday.
The logic stands strong all these years later. Literally 10 years later, we're still wondering, how can you fuck your mom without a dick?
So I ended up moving here. I came here without a job. And it's meant like, well, I hope this works out. I applied for the job and I got the job there. I was the deputy online editor. So I didn't write articles. I was running the website, doing stuff. I ended up doing a lot of Facebook Live broadcasts during the 2019. We did a Facebook Live broadcast from outside of Tiananmen Square during the two sessions.
Wow, that must have been short.
It was
Facebook Live, which means it never happened.
Exactly.
Tiananmen Square, not.
It's still up there. There's a secret bit of technology that I can't reveal on the microphone right now that we use to do it. But trust me, you can just buy it anywhere in Hong Kong. So it's called a phone. I'm not allowed to do any journalism on the streets of Beijing, obviously, because I don't have the. So I was working with my Chinese colleagues. So we set up, my guy Lee starts broadcasting. I've got the phone and I'm listening to the audio. The two journalists, and we're like, don't talk to anyone on the streets. Right. Just interview each other, say what's going on here, blah, blah, blah. Give us a sense of what's going on. As we start recording, I see this one guy and it's kind of like this windbreaker haircut, what we call sinister eyewear. just sort of standing there. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
5 minutes later, there's another one and another one. another one. Yeah. We were on air for about 15, 20 minutes. And by the end of it, like, there was like six dudes just hanging around.
Just hanging around, not looking
at anyone else but us.
Just watching. You know when something like that would happen in Hong Kong when someone's not standing at the top of the building? And one person shows up and another shows up. Yeah. So they were actually watching you like, this guy's going to kill himself.
One way, he's going to kill himself.
That's what we've got to watch this, man. Yeah. This guy's definitely going to be in trouble now.
So yeah, we did that, stuff like that. We did some interesting stuff. I thought I'd print out what was one of the famous, because we have to change the headlines or make the headlines.
Yeah,
for the
we should
stories.
Probably have the photo for the art photo for the, these, for this episode. Notes, right? It's just you and your notes.
Yeah.
Because you are, this is episode 160, whatever.
Yeah.
This is the first time ever we had an author here, your best friend, Nuri Vitacci. He was on and he was promoting his book that he didn't have with him.
Wow.
It's like you are more prepared than Nuri, which is actually not really a compliment.
Fancy Nuri being unresearched.
Yeah.
So this is the front page that ran, okay then?
Yeah.
So I remember, so just read this headline for me, Vivek.
Delay no more. Hong Kong leader murky on today's deadline for mainland to respond on fate of missing bookseller Li Bo. I love the delay no more.
So that headline goes up.
It went up.
Well, it goes up on a story.
2 hours.
Yeah. I see these people stand up across the newsroom, look across.
Yeah.
And there was Guaylo kind of like old times like, you know what that means.
Yeah.
I'm getting my phone is going off on WhatsApp. There's friends from New York Times going, that's you, isn't it, Jared? That's you doing that. You know what that means. Like,
yeah.
No, it's not me. It stayed up and it got a lot of attention.
Of course. Nice. Dude, this is the best.
Yeah.
So, and I can say this was at a time when there was a number of Australians on the online team.
Yeah.
So we were, dare I say, racially profiled.
Yeah.
For using a phrase that says what
exactly,
it says.
Yeah.
And all I'll say is that a character I will refer to as the Darth Vader of the newsroom.
Yeah.
We looked at like, should we change it? Gave the hand gesture of like, let it roll.
Oh,
nice.
Let it roll. And you could, because we had these live screens in a room that shows people, you the traffic for websites.
Yeah, right.
Maybe that was going up and
up.
Man. And again, like, about
how many beers did you get to that night?
I was, the number of people, like I say, who said that had to be you, didn't it?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah.
But there was a moment in time when there was probably maybe a little bit more humor going on in there.
I'll put it this way, like anybody who got that, you know, you've passed the Hong Kong,
yeah.
Person mark, number one. Number two, I love the fact that you used used the delay no more for the topic about the missing bookseller. Of all the topics, you know, go with the one that the whole government's like, nah.
Yeah.
We're a robust period.
Exactly.
In Hong Kong journalism.
Yeah.
That was 2015 or something?
16.
Yeah, 15, 16. Yeah.
Oof, that is good. I mean,
you don't think that we can swing that today?
I don't think we could. I don't know if there's a specific thing in Article 23.
This is like a discussion now, right?
Yeah, or is it just... No, yeah, it's in discussion. It hasn't passed just yet. I'll put it this way. What you can do next time, tell the editor, try to get GOD, the store that sells all these products, to take out an ad. Give them a free ad right next to the headline. And their ad has their slogan where they always put it on their t-shirts and everything. Delay no more.
Do you know, you should... It's funny you mentioned the GOD store because they'd sell the, you know, in English, delay no more t-shirts. Yeah. Mm. I'd sent one to my brother in Melbourne.
Yeah.
But he lives on the side of Melbourne, the east side of Melbourne, where there's a lot more Cantonese speaking people now.
I loved it.
And I'm like, dude, have you got that t-shirt still? Do you like better? He's like, no, I gave it to my mother-in-law, man. does she show up at a place called Box Hill? You can't tell her that. You just explain it to her. And also feel that for me is a tribute because look, one of the thing, many things that I love of Hong Kong, but I could list them all day, but one of the ones is that I love the level of t-shirt insanity you see on the streets in Hong Kong. And my favorite one day, I was walking down the street one day, I was in Causeway Bay, I see this guy seeing a t-shirt, see Emily play. I'm like, that is the most obscure reference to a Pink Floyd song I've ever seen. And dude, you're an old Hong Konger, dude.
Yeah.
Okay, it makes fine.
Sense. Yeah.
And then
yeah.
I saw a little Filipino lady, spiritual gangster.
I'm cool.
And then I saw, and to this day, I wish I had taken the photo, little old Hong Konger lady with a t-shirt, will fuck for coke.
There is a whole awesome Instagram page called Shanghai Observe that does that for Shanghai and all of China, but sometimes Hong Kong stuff gets through.
There was a Hong Kong Facebook page for a while that it got taken down because it was like Hong Kong fashion, errors of Hong Kong fashion.
Right, whatever. Right. Oh, I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And they're very good. Yeah, there is a lot of that. I mean, you can get a lot of them from Taobao too. You can actually, right, like some of them that go viral, and of course, someone starts making those. Those t-shirts.
Yeah.
And you can just make them.
I mean, the best part is that usually you would think these are knockoffs or like, you know, with a typo, so it was selling for cheap.
Yeah.
This is clearly, they either bought it on purpose, much like the person who buys a Delay No More t-shirt.
Yeah.
Or they were sent this t-shirt on purpose, much like the mother-in-law who's now wearing Delay No More in Box Hill in Australia.
So I use an example. One construction worker wearing a hat that says, fuck work. In Chinese and in English, and then they went ahead and made it at merchandise. So and you can just buy fuck work in different colors.
That's Aussie, yes.
I mean, the thing. See, these phrases I appreciate because, like, people who get it, they get it. It's like there's another layer behind, right? Delay No More. And we were just discussing before the podcast about certain phrases that people say in Australia as well. I mean, look, I know there's a lot of slang. For example, dim sims.
Yes.
First of all, I love the fact that there's dim sims in Australia, that they had to add plural to the word dim sum, right? And then also mistype it like, it's dim sum. Like, no, dim sim. Dim sim.
Well, apparently, according to like Annie has a whole thing about it in her show when she explains that it's not actually Aussie dim sum. It's a different thing.
It's supersized sumai.
Exactly. Right.
The story behind it is a dude in Melbourne, a Cantonese guy.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I'm going to make sumai, but I got to make it bigger for the Australians because they won't do this. Mm. But the crossover awesome moment was where he spoke to a Greek guy who ran a fish and chip shop who said, let me deep fry that. And of course, dim sim, dimmy.
Done.
The deep fry dimmies.
Yeah.
Right.
When you go to Melbourne, you have to go to the South Melbourne market.
Yes.
South Melbourne dim sims are legendary.
Yeah. Is it the one outside the market? Like where the market? Yeah, yeah, right. Okay, I've seen that.
They're bigger than normal dim sims, but they've got this pepper thing going on.
Yeah.
And it's like, and it's a distant cousin of the sumai.
Yeah.
I say that. But yeah, delicious. And also, man, I love me some dim sims in Australia, man, but I love me some bowls in Hong Kong. I get a bucket of bowls whenever I can.
Oh, man.
Just going back very quickly to that t-shirt topic, because I challenge you to read this one and explain to the audience what's happening here. No, it's only you can do it.
Good God.
So very quickly, explain what you're seeing.
Okay, then. I'm having an awkward Caucasian moment. Thanks, Mo. So he's handing me the thing, and I'm referring to the Shanghai Observed Instagram post. And there is a Chinese woman wearing a shirt, and someone's done the same typeface font as North Face, and it says, that yellow face. But can I also say, too, like, things that you can't explain from Hong Kong that to overseas.
Right.
Like the Pepe the Frog thing, that's the alt-right thing in the US.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're like, yeah, no, 2019, that was really taken on by the protesters. Like, I don't know why.
Why would you,
And also the fact in Hong Kong, you can say, oh, this person's quite blue. Oh, they're very yellow.
Yeah,
right. It's like,
okay.
And a lot of Hong Kong is like, we don't care about your anxieties, about racism. We're like doing our thing.
Yeah.
And just sort of blow past that.
I think that's the one thing as well. I've learned to, like, when I went to Melbourne, the level of political correctness nowadays has gone another level. Mm-hmm. Where, like, even as a comedian, when the comedians from Asia, okay, so I used to have to give out flyers at the Melbourne Comedy Festival, right? And I remember I'm the type of guy to give flyers where I'm like, hey guys, come on down to a show. I will try to sell that on the street. Now I'm coming with something like, five funny Asians. That's right, it's all in English. And I'm doing this kind of stuff. And I had no idea that people were like, you can't say that. You can't say five funny Asians. I'm like, but we are. They're like, you can say five people from Asia. You can't call them Asians.
But this is, are these anxious white people?
Yeah, anxious white people.
Yeah, yeah.
There's
a lot to be anxious about at the moment.
Right? And the kicker was, this guy tells me you shouldn't be calling Asians and this and that. Also because you're not really Asian.
Oh.
And I'm like, but I'm Indian. He's like, and then he's like, because the Asian, when we think of Asian, we don't think of you. I'm like, I think you're the racist.
Exactly.
Right now.
Just because the skips, they say Indian in Pakistan.
Yes.
And then, because that's where I learned from the English.
Explain to the audience what skips is.
Yeah, I got to say skips. Sorry about that. So like, so we talk about Guayla. I'm talking a little bit more about that. I find that really interesting.
Yeah.
Coming to Hong Kong. But skips is a word that came up in the 1980s. 70s, 80s, because people were quite racist against Greeks and Italians. And there's a huge Greek and Italian population.
But you also have another word. I don't know if I can say it. The W word.
Well, see, that's it. Like, use that word in Australia.
Yeah. Which I know it's frowned upon. That's why I don't want to get in trouble.
You can use it because that's fine. Because there's a theatre show, a comedy crew. They've done a thing called Wogs Out of Work for many years.
Right.
And that was the whole thing where they did quite like Richard Pryor.
Right.
We're going to take that word and we're going to make that like a word of power.
I see.
So I would have at high school, would like, don't you ever fucking call me that?
Mm.
Don't you know the Wogs rule? Okay.
Yeah.
I understand that. And that's where the whole idea, like, look, Anglo white people, there are some words you can't use.
Mm.
Yeah.
But we're going to use them.
Right.
And it's like, oh, that's reverse racism. Yeah. No, it's fucking not, mate. Just read a history book.
Yeah.
You know, we can go down that path there. So Skips, there was a TV show, you know, the Americans have Lassie, the dog that saves everyone.
Yeah.
Australian TV for decades had Skippy the Bush Kangaroo.
I love Skippy, it. Of course. Yeah.
Watch some shit on YouTube about this. Skippy the Kangaroo goes like this, like, what's that, Skip? The kid is lost in the forest. 25 k's northwest of here. It's got a broken leg. Okay, fine. Like Skippy would help these people at a national park.
Yeah.
I think in one episode he might have flown the helicopter. But there is one that is so wrong. It's Skippy playing the drums.
Oh God.
And because it's so wrong, because the background to that is that they use the severed paws of a dead kangaroo for the close-ups of the hands on the drums. So anyway.
Which, having traveled in Australia, you have a lot of severed fucking limbs everywhere, all over your highways.
We drive like the highway and then like, you know, my girlfriend's not from Australia.
I think
like,
you guys killed it for like, national sport.
It's Skippy's just having to sleep. Yeah. Skippy's having a bit of a rest. So Skip would be like, yo, you Skippy, you're dumb fucking Skip.
Right.
Your granddad was a convict, bro.
Hmm.
So, like, okay, we're Skips. So
yeah, right. And it just stuck.
So that's Anglos. Yeah. So that's the call him Skips.
That's cool. Quite nice, you know, Skips, you know? It doesn't sound really mean.
Yeah. It comes from a lovable character.
Yeah, sounds very lovable. Hey, come here, Skips. you know?
As long as the target group is okay, is embracing it.
Yeah.
I think, you know.
It's the equivalent to the Gwalo in Hong Kong.
That's right.
They've embraced the term.
When I learned that word Gwalo, I'm like, so what is it? Pale white ghosts.
Yeah.
Yes.
This is awesome because there's this story from Australian history, right? So the Brits opened Australia as an open air prison. Mm. That's what January 26th, Australia Day, actually is.
Right. Like
they planted the British flag and said, we claim this for King, whatever the fuck was, King
Charles,
George.
I don't know.
No, it's King George. planted the flag, the British flag of New Holland.
Yeah.
And opened an open air prison.
Right.
A tradition we continue to this day. ask anyone who arrives by boat. So there was that. So there was this convict settlement in Tasmania. All right. So, but they opened up.
Is it called Tasmania? The whole thing?
It's the whole thing. So it was, but they had a. But they started this little settlement.
Yeah.
It's Sorrento. So down the way from Melbourne on the
Sorrento's.
Yeah. Sorrento's like now it's just black BMWs and Caucasian people in kind of like activewear.
Yeah.
But they started this little farm there, and this one guy called William Buckley is there, and he's a convict, and he'd been sent out from England for, I don't know, stealing a piece of bread or upsetting someone, whatever. And he's like, there's like two fucking guards here and they don't care. And he tells the guy, the guy's like, we can just fuck off.
Right.
And the guy's like, yeah, okay. So they just walk and they keep walking and they walk. And this is so before Melbourne is settled.
Yeah.
So they're in this place where there's just Australia.
Chaos, yeah.
Well, we're not even Australia yet, okay? And a lot of, so there's white fellas and black fellas is the other phrase we use in Australia. So a lot of Aboriginal people, blah, blah, blah. So he's walking away and then they're like, you know what? And I think they get too close to Melbourne. So it takes like an hour and a half to drive from Melbourne to Sorrento. Mm-hmm. They've walked all the way to this place. They're like, nah, fuck this. We're going back. This is no good.
Yeah.
And Buckley says, no, I'm going to keep going. He keeps walking. He walks for 2 days and ends up down the Great Ocean Road, where the Great Ocean Road is now. And it's blah, blah, blah. And that's a place where, a bit more context, you got to think of Australia as the complexity of nations that Europe has in terms of Aboriginal languages.
Wow.
All right. So you just think of a map of Europe, all of those are different Aboriginal languages.
Right.
Different nations. Okay.
Yeah.
So quite different to New Zealand with this one Maori language. Anyway, so he's going along, blah, blah, blah. And he's in Wathaurong country, that's where Ballarat is, but stretches all the way down.
Mm.
He walks up. This group of Wathaurong guys see him and go, they've never seen a white guy before.
Yeah.
And they go like, oh, you're a dead guy. That's why you're pale white. So you're one of our warriors who's come back from the dead. Oh. Join the tribe, man.
Oh,
what?
So Buckley joins the tribe. Yeah. This is a true story, by the way. Yeah. Like,
did he think at the time, he's like, oh, thank God they didn't kill me. Like, he just like played along.
He's just kind of like, okay.
See, that's the problem when you have improv classes growing up.
Right, yes, right. And. He's like, yeah.
They're like, you're a dead guy. Yes, okay. And I'll be one of you. I'll join the tribe.
Well, not only that, he ends up marrying into the tribe.
Right.
Imagine like, so
Who wants to fuck the dead guy?
Dead guy's going to marry my sister. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
He learned the language. The whole thing is that he learned the Wuthering language, whole thing, and forgot English. So the whole thing kicks off when he is down back on the beach and they're sitting around a fire and these sealers.
He's a method actor.
These sealers.
He went straight in.
These seal hunter guys see this kind of hairy guy and they're like, those tattoos are in English.
Yeah.
Who the fuck's this guy? And they get him and they take him to Melbourne is settled by now. And he becomes this tabloid sensation about your white man who lived amongst the savages.
Whoa.
Bullshit.
Right.
Okay, then, so now you can say, mate, you've got Buckley's chance. And that whole thing about like his, you've got Buckley's, mate, which is you have much of a chance. So it was a whole like thing. And then he's like,
please tell me there's a movie about this.
No, there's not, sadly. Because the next part
that
of
sounds fascinating.
Because this is the stage where there's a guy, speaking of the statue, you know the name for Melbourne is, of course, named after old dead white guy.
Uh-huh.
But the guy who arguably, well, did the deal with the local tribe, his surname was Batman.
Right, yeah, I heard about that.
They were going to call Melbourne Batmania.
Right. Oh my God.
How cool would that be?
That'd be very cool until DC comes and sues the whole place.
So Batman took this guy Buckley and said, so you can speak the languages with these people, yeah? And it's at this stage where, like, this is really where there's a lot of people, farmers, are like, we're just going to take this land.
Yeah.
And the local Aboriginal people are going, I'm sorry, what?
Yeah.
We can't hunt here anymore. And like, you put these juicy, what are they called, cows?
Yeah.
And we can't eat them? What's going on with that? Yeah. So that's the beginning of the frontier wars around Melbourne.
Man. Right.
To get narkier and narkier. And then Buckley ends up going to this thing. It was called the Gathering of the Kulin Nation. So all the different language groups did this huge gathering. If you ever go to Melbourne, Northcote, the Northcote Hill, you can look down on the Melbourne CBD. That's where they all gathered. And the story is that Buckley looks around and goes like, this is awesome. All this, hey, wait a minute. There's no women or children here. Hey, wait a minute. Everyone's got the spears and the battle boomerangs. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
He realizes, like, the Kulin Nation is like, you know what? We've kind of had enough of the white people. It's time we get rid of them.
Oh.
And Buckley's whole thing is like, no, you can't do this because it'll just go horribly wrong.
Yeah.
And, you know, the historical account I read was like he kind of talked them out of it. And that was the last time there was ever that kind of gathering because everything, disease, alcohol, blah, 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 happened. And that's the story of Australia, kids.
Wow.
So anyway, you're talking about dead white guys, pale white ghosts. I'm like, pale white ghosts?
So when they make that movie again, first of all, Buckley, right?
Yeah, William Buckley.
First of all, if they make this movie now, he's going to have to be a trans person.
No.
Just to
they'll probably do that for the second version,
right?
For the second, if it goes well, the second one will have a transfer. It turns out but I guarantee, first of all, it has to be played by Tom Cruise.
What's his name? Wolverine. Hugh. What's his name?
Hugh Jackman. He's good. Isn't he from New Zealand or is he Australian?
The problem is like Hollywood doesn't go that way. Like The Last Samurai wasn't Japanese. You get it?
It was Tom Cruise.
So the first Australian.
And
wasn't
the Great
Australian.
Wall wasn't whoever Chinese, exactly, it was Matt Damon.
Exactly. Yeah, you get it? So the idea is that they'll get Tom Cruise again, right?
Right.
Now you have Tom Cruise over there. He's going to somehow save the day. And the narrative will be like, it was just because of him, because he showed up. And then somehow there's going to be like some Easter egg in the corner that says Scientology. You're like,
the spaceship will come down.
It'll come down and stuff, and then they'll start digging for gold or something like that. And then they'll be talking about how, like, it was actually a gold city, something like that. I'm sure they'll tie it in into some merchandise.
I tell you, they like the level of sense of humor. Like Cantonese being able to make jokes of people of everything.
Yeah.
The history in like there's all these words that we use in like modern society in Australia that, when you dig into them, you see the sense of humour. So right now in Melbourne, the long weekend they're having, they have the Moomba Festival.
Moomba.
A Moomba, right?
Like the vacuum machine.
That's a
Roomba. Roomba.
although many people have said Moomba sucks. So it was always like, it's an Aboriginal word for let's all get together and have fun.
Moomba.
Like, that's nice. And it's just a festival because it's Melbourne. We have festivals every other week. So they have a whole bunch of things, a parade and stuff. There's a King Moomba. There's a Queen Moomba. You speak to anyone from the Wurundjeri people, they're like, Moomba, it means us. It means bum.
Right.
So someone has gone like, and that's the same, that's the same thing with the word kangaroo.
Yeah.
So the British dudes who moved in, they're like, to the people who live around Sydney, like, so what's that? They're like, kangaroo?
Yeah.
Okay, it's called a kangaroo then. That's not what it's called in all the other languages.
We do something similar back home where everyone refers to the desert Sahara. Sahara actually means desert in Arabic. So we always just giggle at our white people going like, we're going to Sahara Desert. We're like, hey, they're saying desert, yeah. Idiot.
It's like ATM machine. It's like, you idiot, it's ATM.
Yeah.
Chai tea.
Chai tea, exactly. That's what chai means. You idiot. Look,
my favorite one is in Ballarat, right? There's this big lake called Lake Wendouree.
Yeah.
Right? Big ass lake in the center of the thing, blah, blah, blah. And there's a suburb called Wendouree. And the whole kind of origin story of white people getting to Ballarat is that these two Scottish stockmen rolled up to this big water hole kind of like lake, saw these Wathaurong ladies and said, and what do you call this place? And they've gone, Wendouree. Like, well, we will call this place Lake Wendouree. It translates as, go away. And I'm pretty sure the Wathaurong people are being polite in the way it's like, go away.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm looking for the equivalent here.
We don't have that here.
Yeah, for Dylan no problem. What is the name of this alleyway?
I'm sure some road must have some equivalent to like.
Well, there is Fuckman and
Yeah. There's that one. There's like Fook Street and stuff like that. Yeah, you have those.
I have Pound Lane behind my house too.
Exactly. You can pound some of that. You know what I mean? The only thing I think is like. Yeah, I really cannot think of it. I think Hong Kong, we were just, maybe we were so busy talking about how you can't fuck your mom without a dick.
Right.
That when the Brits were like, what do we call this? We were like, this is child's play. Yeah. This is nothing. Yeah, I mean. Yeah.
You came with a lot of notes. One of them that caught my attention was the Taylor Swift Wuhan connection. And that on its own is just like lovely.
I'm going to go there. Okay,
what is going on there?
So I remember quite clearly the day in 2020. The 22nd, because you used to stand up and have a news meeting. So like a Hong Kong desk, what have you got? China desk, what have you got? You know, blah, blah, desk, what have you got? Mm. Everyone says what stories they're working on.
They're pitching.
This is SCMP.
Yeah, yeah.
You're right.
So you would have a meeting where someone's in charge of certain countries and districts. Well, and stuff.
Yeah, desks to cover stuff. So it's got the editorial meeting. Right. Everyone does it every day.
So were there a lot of peer pressure of like, I see your headline about the fire. I raise you with the headline about the robbery and the fire.
Right. And then someone had to bring the story from Wuhan first. I want to.
This is exactly
the same. Yeah, yeah. With like the Joker cargo, like, okay, what's your little story, bitch? What's your little idea?
Yeah, you're like, some local old man stabbed his wife. You're like, just wait.
Oh, your headline says delay no more. That's the big thing you want to talk about. Yeah.
Someone fucked a bat.
ate it.
So I remember standing in this newsroom meeting and like, so there's a thing where a reporter will go and do the story or we do something like, we take agency stuff. So like AFP, Reuters stuff, you can use that. Mm. I remember the desk editor for China, the Times, like, oh yeah, there's a report of like a pneumonia, like a disease in Wuhan. So we're going to get some agency copy on that. And remember this character I referred to as Darth Vader going, what do you think you're doing? We got the South China Morning Post. Get someone there now.
Yeah.
And like before the end of the sentence, you can see like people get sent right there. You like send people there right now. So fast forward to like, so 2 days later, it's kind of like, oh shit, we all have to pack our shit up and go home and work. I'm like, okay, now quick, everyone in the studio. I got three people just to go, what the fuck's going on?
Yeah.
Right.
Because I was a very small department, the department of one, the meetings are really short.
Oh, nice.
So I was like, I'm going to do this every week until the end of the pandemic. Nice. So we did weekly podcasts, did all this stuff. To which we had all these people inside mainland China telling us all this stuff What was going on.
Mm.
And there's stuff that we picked up on. And I'm not saying we're like super awesome in the world, but we picked up on stuff that no one else did. And one was the fact that the Taylor Swift fans, Taylor Swift fans in China, organized to get aid and money to Wuhan better than the government. Because Taylor Swift fans know how to organize and get money done and get shit done.
Right.
So we had this like, you know, a podcast like, you know, this is going on, Dr. Lee Wen Lung, blah, blah, blah. And The Taylor Swift connection.
Her fans around the world or in China?
In China. Just got their shit together. Like,
oh my God. So they are already on like a WeChat group or whatever. Like, yeah. they know each other.
We got to sort out our friends in Wuhan. We got to sort out. And like, they got a social conscience.
I wonder how big they can get before the government starts getting nervous about, like, you know how like there's like anything above like 50 people. They're like, all right, you can't. This is now a legal gathering. How many are they?
So
I just love.
Yeah.
How much Taylor Swift makes the bro flakes cry.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Makes them cry. And also, again, seeing that she came to Australia and a huge gig, blah, blah, blah. But it was like suddenly all these people need to give their opinions. Like, dude, I don't need to hear your 62-year-old dude opinion.
Yeah.
Just be happy.
Yeah.
That there's this huge, like, there's...
I don't understand. Like, obviously, there is the Singapore Hong Kong rivalry, whatever. We can trash them. Yeah, but like, we can trash each other. But like, them having Taylor Swift and his exclusive stop is like a massive win for them. No one can deny that.
And also, I think what was hilarious was that because the story came out of a Thailand newspaper, like, I tweeted
yes,
and it became news like at 10 days later.
Yeah, yeah. They broke it first that she's going to be there exclusively.
Well, it was just that Singapore had superior kung fu when it comes to contracts and money.
Right.
And Kate Taylor's got her mom grew up in Singapore or something like that. There's a bit of a connection. Mm. But, you know, Singapore's like, hey, here's $5 million.
Right.
And, oh, by the way, just a little bit. You can't play anywhere else in Asia.
Yeah. Right.
Like, great. I mean, more money without more work.
Exactly. I
mean, this is everyone's dream.
Exclusive contract. Yeah. Thanks for coming. Everyone's happy.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. Like,
yeah.
I would just say that, that was me doing that new Hong Kong style check of like, should we talk about this thing? So, now it's going to be if you come for a working visa to Hong Kong, we just need to check everything you've ever said.
Yeah.
Just to make sure it's cool with Hong Kong.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, then you realize that's not just for Taylor Swift.
Right.
It's for every lighting technician, sound technician, roadie. Yeah. Like, there's like, what, 200 people, 300 people in that crew. Every single one of those people has to check out.
Yeah.
To get a working visa to come into Hong Kong.
Not happening,
So...
Yeah, why wouldn't I take the money and just like enjoy it?
Or people just fly to Singapore. I was talking about a mate of mine. His son at school here had a friend who flew from here to Melbourne to see Taylor Swift.
Not surprised.
He's a 16-year-old boy in Melbourne by himself. Like, yeah, I'm like... He'll be okay. Yeah, I'm like, oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure, we'll find some friends.
Yeah, I mean, it's crowded in Hong Kong. It's not Taylor Swift concert crowded, but all right, you know.
I mean, I saw Metallica in Hong Kong. That was huge.
Yeah. I saw them in Shanghai.
I saw them in Singapore. I flew out of Singapore.
There you go.
I've been running a one-man campaign to get Iron Maiden to play here because, like,
I saw them in Shanghai too. This show.
This is, you know, when we finally got out of the pandemic and brought the restrictions down, it was like, okay, then we're going to have like a snap clock and flap. I'm like, the only people we must have Iron Maiden.
They had
their own plane.
Yeah.
Like, the planes would still want flying to Hong Kong. Like, well, Iron Maiden does. They could be here. They're like your uncles of metal. They're like the nicest dudes.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
You know what I mean? See, the thing with this, Iron Maiden sounds great. And the problem is that the Hong Kong government, before when they got the Rolling Stones in after the SARS issue, they got in big trouble because, like, it was clear that Rolling Stones was for the older generation.
Yes.
They got in trouble. So the Iron Maiden thing, the government will not go with because they're like, yeah, no, we're not making that same mistake. However, the problem is this, though. They couldn't even get Taylor Swift. Okay, so I would not be surprised if they're like, you know what, get something. What? Can they play exclusive to Hong Kong?
Well, we got Messi to sit outside. we got the best player of all time.
And now this is the thing. This is what the Hong Kong
government... And piss off the entire city.
I mean, this is what the Hong Kong government fucked up. They should have played on that. Be like, yeah, we purposely...
Yeah.
We said we'll be the bigger man and let Messi sit this out so he's healthy enough for the rest of your cities. Unlike Singapore, who selfishly enjoys something and doesn't share, you know.
Yes.
You should have done that.
I know there's been 1,000 opinions about that, but like, dude, you couldn't just run up and down the side of the ground. Like, for me, it was it was all those parents who had their kids.
Yeah.
Go like, is he on yet, Dad?
Yeah, it is sad. Jokes aside, it's sad.
That's the one you're like, come on, man, you couldn't just run up and down the field.
Dude, full on. Yes. Like, full on, I'll tell you this. That was everyone's opinion of like, like every Hong Konger was like, do you not know how to just solve this problem? Go out there for 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Just run it. Touch the ball twice. Not once.
People
will
lose their shit.
They'll be like, yeah. And just like, let his teammates just pass the ball to him. Win, lose, who cares?
Take that crappy photo from the stands on your phone. You know?
Yeah.
But anyway, so there you go. So a thing I saw come up just the other day, Beyonce, arguably, in my opinion, a far superior female. Anyway, Beyonce is touring all through Asia.
Yeah.
Where she's not coming?
Hong Kong.
I was going to guess Macau, but Hong Kong too. Damn.
She's not coming here.
No.
Yeah. I'm not surprised.
I'm just going to do this thing on Twitter. Like, have you got your outrage bingo cards ready, people?
Yeah.
Are you ready for that?
You're pretty active on Twitter, by the way. This is a good time to plug it. Or how do people find you on Twitter?
JAY_Watt.
All right. We're going to have it in the show notes as well. But yeah, I do enjoy your tweets. I'm very inactive on it, but I admire your stuff.
I try and tweet Harry Harrison's cartoons when I can think of a joke or a pun.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Because I just like, you know, because they don't give him enough promotion on their social sites. So yeah, I love tweeting Harry's cartoons. And because I spend a lot of time doing this podcast about China geopolitics and
right. There's
all this stuff about, like, China's involvement in Australia is quite interesting. You know, I don't mean, because there's this...
Yeah, how do you see that relationship now? Because it seems to be kind of all over the place.
Well, I'll tell you what's hilarious. Like, there's a great comedy skit where there's this guy talking to the military. And he's like, so without mentioning any countries, can I just understand that who's our major trading partner?
Mm.
This country, China.
Mm.
So who are you preparing for war with?
China.
So hang on, you got to protect the shipping lanes. Why? From China. So where are we sending all our resources? Oh, to China.
Yeah.
It goes around this circuit like, what?
Yeah.
So number one is Australia sends a huge amount of iron ore, like the hugest amount of iron ore to China. It is buys fucking a lot of iron ore.
Milk too. Beef.
The iron ore, it's kind of like, cool. You know when you complain about them building the world's largest navy? What do you reckon they're making that out of, mate? What do you reckon they're making their tanks out of?
Yeah,
right.
They're not plastic.
No.
So you're sending them stuff and then go like, oh, my God, they built the world's largest navy.
Yeah.
Well, come on. Well, you can't have it both ways.
You're selling it to them.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's that. And also, like, the story.
But yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you have the, like, beef short, like, you know, the living crisis. And like the prices are going really high, but you're selling a lot of it to China as well.
Yeah.
And again, stuff I learned at the SAP, because there's like just super smart people who worked. I love it. There's one particular guy, always educate me whenever I speak to him, okay? Then.
Mm.
And I'm like, dude, what is the thing with like Penfolds wines? Like, do you know Penfolds in Mandarin translate as run to money?
Mm.
Run to prosperity? Is it Pindor or Penfold? Like... But the word, the label Penfolds, what says it's Australia's oldest family-run wine, like huge company in mainland China.
Mm.
Would you like a bottle of Run to Prosperity? Yes, I would.
Yeah.
So when you see those photos of shit being smuggled through Hong Kong into mainland China, always take note, it's always Penfolds wine, never anything else.
Right.
Like cases of the stuff.
Yeah.
And there's the great story of the lobsters, man. I've followed this for so many years. It's the fucking funniest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
So, A, we had the dumbest prime minister. There's been a strong competition for that, but just the worst prime minister of all time. And then this guy, Scott Morrison, crazy religious fundamentalist, otherwise known as Scotty from marketing. he was given the name. He gave himself his own nickname.
Right.
So you've heard,
he's trying to be cool.
He called himself ScoMo.
ScoMo. FOMO, ScoMo, HOMO. Let's do this.
Did you're like, oh, really? You're doing that? Okay, then fine. Anyway, goes up.
It's like your boomer uncle trying stay cool, relevant.
You know what?
I'm on Insta.
Yeah, exactly.
I think the thing that will cross the line for me is that he refers to himself as a third person. ScoMo doesn't like that.
Exactly. So anyway, he gets up on a microphone in 2020 and says, we should have like a WHO investigation of the
virus.
But then it gets sort of on the Murdoch Sky News, Fox News channel. They're like, you mean like powers like UN weapons inspectors? Like, yeah, like that. Like, did you just say UN weapons inspectors into China? Like, and they're like, oh, look, there's a 400% increase on tariffs on Australian red wine.
Yeah.
It's very specifically targeted because red wine.
Because you're running your yap.
Well, they're not normally Labor voters. They're normally Conservative voters. Mm. So, and then farmers, like, that was the pressure being they thought would work and didn't work. But after all these years, like, they've removed the stuff on timber, on beef, didn't touch the iron ore. the red wine is still, those tariffs are still there. Yeah, no, we'll look at it. Yeah, we'll look at it, like, at some point. But then again, it's the so dumb, the narrative in Australia, coverage of China. And it gets back to, there was a guy from the Financial Times years ago who said, you know, in London, New York, DC, the heads of newsrooms only want to hear three stories from China. Big China,
yeah.
Bad China, weird China. Big China, oh my God, there's so many people. Bad China, oh, it's bad, and the human rights. Oh, we're done, they do weird stuff. And that's just the three types of stories you'll only ever see.
Right, so if you have a story that doesn't fit any of the three things, like, we can't, yeah.
And Australia just has fear or greed. Fear, oh my God, they're going to invade. Or, yeah. Oh my God, they're going to look at a real estate crisis. We won't be able to sell them as much iron ore. We won't be able to make as much money. Like, that's pretty much it. Also,
another what about the lobsters?
Still banned, but there was someone picked up on the fact that...
So they're completely banned. Aussie lobsters banned.
Oh, no. We're just like halting imports because we're testing because we think there might be some pollution. You mean from the Indian Ocean?
Yeah.
Right.
Because like seriously, 98% of the lobsters caught in West Australia on a plane, China.
Right.
China.
Yeah.
But then someone had a look at went, let me get this straight. Hong Kong normally imports about, I don't know, 10 tons worth of Australian lobster each year. It's now importing about 200 tons.
Why?
Have you seen like people just walking down the street with lobster sandwiches?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, it's
all getting put in polystyrene boxes on a big speedboat.
Yeah.
Straight across the border. So a couple of years ago, the new customs chief in Hong Kong, they had this giant bust and like all these boxes of lobsters out. And someone said, so do you think lobsters are a national security threat? Yes. Australian lobsters is a national security threat. And I'm like, why are you spending money on nuclear submarines, Australia?
Yeah.
Send in the lobsters.
Yeah. Chop, chop. Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, and I'm like, and I have tried so hard to find where the lobsters are coming into Hong Kong. And also I've always wanted to know when they confiscate all this stuff.
Yeah.
Where's the lobster going afterwards?
Yes. Do they release them back? Yeah.
Well, they're not live lobsters.
Yeah, they're not live.
They're not alive. No. Oh, God damn it.
That's probably why.
They're sleeping like the kangaroos you see on the highway.
Exactly. Yeah. That's probably why all the casinos have lobster for the buffet. They're like, we got to clear the stuff off, man.
Oh, yeah. Trouble. I mean, I wish because they're not even that cheap.
They're not cheap in Hong Kong.
Oh, they're cheap in Australia now, I tell you. When I was in Melbourne last, I'm like, I will buy two of your national security threat lobster snake. And they're like, what? Like, do trust me.
I'll take
two of your lobster snake.
Same with you guys, yeah.
I paid about probably 200 Hong Kong dollars for a full lobster.
A full one, like a big...
Like the size of my arm.
That's insane.
Yeah, that's a proper Aussie one.
Yeah.
God damn.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I bought two.
I do like the ones that I went to Queen Vic Market and they have like lobster roll, like sandwiches
that's
and
where
stuff.
It's at.
Really good.
Yeah.
Very cheap too, actually. Mm-hmm. Like maybe 50 Hong Kong or something.
King Island, down the best right.
Yeah, exactly.
One more note you had was the Lippo Center. Sorry, we were talking earlier about like the ugliest buildings in Hong Kong.
Well, the ugliest buildings, but also the Australia Hong Kong connection is
not enough spoken about it.
You got to see the movie The Man from Hong Kong.
Uh-huh.
And I'm Vivek, I want you in the remake.
Yeah.
Because you're talking about like woke like recasting.
Yeah.
Because The Man from Hong Kong starts with Sammo Hung in a Foo fight on top of Uluru.
Of course.
All right. It's not Ayers Rock anymore. It's only briefly called Ayers Rock, moving along. And then in the 70s where people were allowed to stand on Uluru. Don't do that anymore. Thank you very much. But also the greatest action film of all time was Golden Harvest, Australian kind of connection. Awesome film.
Mm.
Move on. So the Lippo Building was owned by an Australian billionaire, built by an Australian billionaire called Alan Bond, who was such a stupid billionaire, he went broke selling beer to Australians. He was a dude
that has to be a record of sorts.
So much money and blew so much money.
Oh,
but he built this building and, as I found out today, took a lower price so he could call it the Bond Center because his name was Alan Bond. Mm. But it's supposed to be koalas climbing up the building.
Yeah.
When you look at it, you're like,
is it?
Giant koalas climbing up the building.
That's the concept. I remember seeing them like, oh.
That's so abstract.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. I just love that. We don't even have anything that cool in Australia.
Yeah.
Like in terms of architecture, like, oh, yeah, you got the Opera House. Good on you. What else have you got, you know?
Yeah.
What about giant, like, koalas climbing up buildings? You know, that's fantastic.
That's the problem. He didn't make it realistic enough, whereas, like, yeah, it does stick out. You know, you put it that way, I'm like, I can kind of see the koalas. He should have, like, made it more obvious, like, put like smiley faces on it.
Yeah. And also just make them kind of, I don't know, have like
slowly move a bit.
Chlamydia and like.
Exactly. Like one floor, like one particular floor is just permanently
dripping
like diseased.
Yeah. But listen, the other one, we had this chat before we got on the mic and I got to get this out because you confirmed something I've wanted to know for years.
Yes.
And I said, Cantonese.
Yeah.
Ding gum. Is that like true gold, authentic gold? What does that mean?
So we discussed this and basically Teng gum, the key is gum is gold, right? Mm-hmm. And Teng would be like the best, the top, because you would Teng team, Teng, you know, that's like the top, the peak basically. Yeah, San Teng, you know, kind of a thing. So yeah, that would be top best gold.
So top gold. If you're in Australia, you say you're dinkum, meaning it's authentic, it's real. You're a dinkum Aussie. Are you fair dinkum?
Meaning, you think it comes from Cantonese?
Yeah. Absolutely, wow. Because and it's not. I'm not drawing massive like conclusions here. Like,
right.
If like 1850s, 1860s, tens of thousands of people from Guangdong came to Australia, came to Victoria to the goldfields. All right, so 20% of the male population in Ballarat, Bendigo, Castlemaine, Beechworth were speaking Cantonese.
Yeah,
wow.
So and then like the legacy of that in the language is easy to find. Like, there's a Macquarie dictionary. That's the Australian dictionary. They're like, yeah, no, we think it's British or Welsh. I'm like, I call bullshit.
Right.
Because it just plays out like these guys are like, it's top gold, man. It's the best gold. Like, it's dinkum.
Yeah.
There it is.
Like, dinkum. Yeah.
You're a dinkum Aussie, man. You're a dinkum Canadian. Right there.
It's so true. It could possibly happen. I mean, the whole joke about the achar term for Indian people was that when Indians came to Hong Kong to work, they would take any job. Yeah, and the word for okay or yes is achar. So they became like achar.
Yeah, they're just the yes guys.
Yes, man. Yeah, exactly. The dinkum. Yeah.
Jared, you're a dinkum Aussie. Thank you so much for joining us, man. You have endless stories. We definitely have you back on. Maybe after we both come from Australia, so we can come back to you with some stories.
See how much of his stuff was really dinkum.
Exactly.
I don't know whether it's going to be like the welcome back or just the post-traumatic stress.
kind of
debrief for you guys. Dude,
probably.
The dim sims are really,
Just like, mate, you don't have to be a dumb fucking skip. You're a skip, you don't have to be a dumb skip. That and like, bogans. There's nice bogans. There's angry bogans. Bogans.
Well, we're both be performing to very different audiences. Vivek would be performing to basically Hong Kong people in Cantonese.
Yeah.
I'll be performing to dinkums and skips and whatnot and the wogs and all of the insults. I don't know if you heard on the podcast like a few months ago when I did the shows there. I was asking about the black people. What do the black people wear? Thinking like looking for physically black people, which I do a lot in my shows. I go to Taiwan, ask for black people, like wherever they are, don't exist. I just go like, where are they? And I said that, and turns out you guys called them something very different.
Well, the room got really quiet.
Yeah. Oh, they got really quiet, and it was also during the referendum.
Yes.
It was really super sensitive.
Yeah.
And I didn't know until I got off stage because I thought like, are you guys just so that racist that you don't even want to acknowledge them? They're like, no, we're. You're asking about Africans.
It's kind of an ugly history. And then the whole thing with African folk, there's a whole bunch of Sudanese people have moved to Australia in the last decades or so.
Right.
So it's actually changed. You know, there's some like Sudanese hip hoppers, you know, Ethiopian, great Ethiopian bands and stuff like that happening. Yeah. And yeah, and that's, again, another level of complexity that eludes the major.
Well, I usually stay in Brunswick, so I go hang out in Coburg, which is basically just feels like exactly like home.
But that's
I call it Little Baghdad. It's great.
That's what my dad used to work in a factory. Like, I know Coburg, and I think it's hilarious. It was like, the hipsters.
There is a falafel spot there called Half Moon. There is an Egyptian falafel spot. Fantastic. Just like, I usually just like, that's my breakfast spot whenever I go back.
I got to ask a question to you. Mohammed, have you ever eaten camel?
Yes.
Is it nice?
It's delicious, yes.
I've always wanted to.
Yeah.
Because like Australia has, I don't know if you know this, there's a train line called the GAN, G-H-A-N, that goes from Adelaide to Darwin. Why is it called that? Because we used to have a whole bunch of Afghan people with camels walking up and down that stretch.
What? No.
did they take the camels away? Like, no, they didn't. And the camels bred. And now there's probably a million or so.
You should eat them.
Feral camels running around in Australia.
You should eat them. They're delicious.
Dude, I had this thing like, I was in Vietnam and I was speaking to this guy. I was speaking through a translator. He's like the head of the village or stuff. And they're like, so what food do you like to eat in Australia? Like, well, to be honest, kangaroo. And then the translator said, hey, laughed his guts out and said, but you make fun of us for eating dogs.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's true.
See, man, I love Skippy. I love eating Skippy. You know?
Also delicious, by the way.
Oh, so good.
So good. Yeah. Have you had it before?
No.
It's really good.
Kangaroo. Dog.
No, not dog. No, I have a dog. No.
Kangaroo, I have. Yeah.
Kangaroo's delicious.
I'm not a big fan. I tried it once. Maybe it was a shit quality or whatever, but I was like, this is really tough.
People don't know how to cook it. But it's better when you have it as a
I had like just like at a steak at a bar in Australia. Really good.
Yeah. But also, while it'd be better because it's cuter, it's sweeter. Wallaby, man. Go and get to hear some Wallaby. Wallaby. Yeah, man.
Thank you so much for joining us. It's one more time, people find you on Twitter. Where else?
That's about it. I'm on various other social platforms.
I thought for a second you're on a dating app, which, sure, we can plug that too.
No, I'm not on a dating app.
Off the market, my friend.
Indeed.
Thank you, Jared, so much for joining us. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. And one more thing, very quickly, join the Patreon. We're about to record a Patreon where we talk to Jared about stuff that we cannot say on public record. So patreon.com/yahoopod, $5 a month. It's a lot of fun. See you there. Bye.
Yeah.